Hallelujah. We worship on Wednesday, February 24th, 2024, with the Liberal Heart People, God the Father. Today, title is a parable of the laborers in the vineyard, is a part one. Today's text is a parable that we know all too well. It has been preached many times, and nevertheless, we are compelled to review it again today because there are things we miss, overlook, and we know that lesson, yet we do not act accordingly. So I'd like to read is Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16. For the kingdom of the heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You to go into the vineyard." And when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his first man, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last from to the first." And when hired about the 11th hour came, each one received the denarius. And when those hired first came, they saw they would receive more, and they also received each one of denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way, but I wish to give you to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Your eyes envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last." First, we need to understand that Jesus' motivation and the audience for telling this parable. Earlier in the Matthew chapter 19, a rich young man came to the Lord and asked, in the Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, "What good?" And behold, one came to him and said to teachers, "What good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" The Lord said to him, "If you want to enter into the eternal life, you must keep the commandment," in the verse 17. And he said to the young man, "Go, sell and what you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come follow the Lord, to follow me." Because he had much wealth, he was troubled and left the Lord. And you can see in verse 26, I like to read from the verse 22, "But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much properties. 26, and looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with the good God all things are possible." Amen. both words and the eternal life and the treasure in heaven all refers to heaven. Peter, who overheard and asked the Lord, then Peter, verse 27, then Peter answered and said to him, behold, we have left everything and follow you. What then will there be for us? Why did the Lord speak the last words to Peter and the disciples? Matthew 19, verse 30, but many who are first will be last and last first. It would have lightened the disciples' heart if he had ended with, because you have made me your primary concern and forsaking or and following me, you will inherit the throne and the eternal life. We don't know if the disciples' heart were heavy when they heard those words at the time, but it is true that the Lord's last words weighed heavily on our heart as we heard them today. The Lord and the parable of the rich young man with Matthew chapter 19, verse 30, before saying these words, the rich young man left and these words were spoken to the remaining disciples. Why does the Lord end today's parable of the vineyard worker with the same words to his disciples in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16? The answer is in today's text is also the conclusion. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. Here, who was the first and who was last? The first, who are the first are those who say he know eternal life and God. In other words, it refers to a rich young man, right? So who is the last one? They are peoples who lived regardless of eternal life or heaven. They are clearly behind the rich young man's spiritual level and the knowledge of God. However, it refers to those who believe in Jesus and follow him as disciple. So, in today's text, Matthew 20, 16, who is the last, who is the first? The last one are those who became workers in the vineyard at 11 o'clock, the 5 p.m. Those who are first will be those who have worked in the vineyard since dawn. In other words, the last ones are those who are the last to jump entirely into the goodness and the mercy of the master. That is, the loan, the master's owners. Sinners and the tax collector can also be called the Gentile. On the other hand, those who came first refer to the Jew who knew God, knew the law, and took the lead in entering heaven. However, the Lord's parable goes one step further by telling the disciples that although you knew me first and jumped in, you must not lose sight of the fact that the Lord wants to warn you that something will happen later. Going one step further, it can be a warning to those of us who believe in Jesus first. Today's parables of the laborers in the vineyard is as followed. The first, early morning, at 6 a.m., he met the workers, set them a daily wage of one denarius, and sent them to the vineyard, right? And the third hour, 9 a.m., people standing around and praying, the people standing with nothing to do, verse 3, you can see that. He sent them to his vineyard and promised to pay them a fair wage according to the amount of work done. That is very important. And third, the 6 hours, the 12 o'clock, do likewise according to the amount of work done. You can find out the verse 5. And the fourth, the 9th hour, 3 p.m., do the same and give it to him is a actually the generously, that is the same as like that. And the last one, 11th hours, the 5 p.m., when landowners went out to the market, he saw people running around. "What did you guys stand here praying all day?" he asked, and their answer was, "Because no one used it as a hired hat." Hence, the landowner said, "You also go into the vineyard." You can find out the verse 6 to 7. When the work is over, the owner pays the wages, right? Those who came last began to be paid at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. and were given one denarius. Although he only worked as for 1 hour, he received one denarius, which is a day's as a wage. You see that the early morning, actually from the last one, from the 11th hours, the 5 p.m., one denarius. And the 9th hours, the same as above, is actually the negotiated wages is according to the amount of the work done. But that wage pays one denarius. And 6th hours, and the same as that, one denarius. And 3rd hours, 9 a.m., and one denarius. Early morning, he started working the 6 a.m., the same thing, one denarius. Although he only work for 1 hour, he received one denarius, which is a day's wage. Those who came first after seeing this saw that they had done more work and expect to receive at least one denarius more. However, they gave the same denarius to themselves who had abandoned their expectation and work all day starting early in the morning. It is common sense to expect to be paid more because they work more. Since the remaining workers did not set their own wages, they would have been happy to receive a day's wage for the amount of work they did. In particular, those who only work for 1 hour would have felt like they had made windfall. If get pay for their work is like this. Look at this table. It's actually the 11th hours, the time level to study work, the 11th hours, 5 p.m. Just they work in the only 1 hours. If the pay that the only them is like when we get paid, just what they work, that's only the what? One denarius, that is almost 12 times, isn't it? And the 9th hour, just he worked on only the 3 hours. That is according to the amount of work done. But compare that, he paid that, where his wages is 4 times. And the 6 hours is like that, only the 2 times. Like that, 12 hours is 1 denarius, is nothing change, right? A worker who came in the 3rd hour would have received 9/12 denarius, actually, right? A worker who came in the 6 hours, who would be received just 6/12 denarius. Calculate that. A worker who came in at the 9th hours would have received is 3/12 denarius. A worker who came in at the 11th hours, who would be received 1/12 denarius. The first laborers who came in and did the work were displeased and resented the loan owner, loan master. Look at this, Matthew chapter 20, verse 12. "These rest men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." The master replied that he had not done anything wrong in giving one denarius. And for he had promised to give one denarius to those who first came in. Right? It's true. Why did the master do this? He could have avoided the blame by either not paying the last one who came in or by paying the first to come in and sending them out first. Here's something we shouldn't miss. Common sense dictates that you hire laborers who work from the dawn to dusk. In other words, if the owner wanted to hire the next laborers, it's common sense to go out at the dawn and hire the required number of laborers. For some reason, the owner went to the marketplace again 3 hours later. He found a group of people not doing anything because they had no work. He invited them into his vineyard and gave them a job. After that, every 3 hours and rather an hour before sunset, he went to the marketplace and invited those who could not find work into his vineyard. He did not tell them the wage, which was 1 denarius, but said he would reasonably pay them. They would have been more than happy to work for an hour than to return home empty-handed. In fact, they were not in position to bargain. They were grateful to their master for the work he had given them, for they were men who worked to live day by day. The landowner let them into his vineyards not because he needed them, but because he saw them standing around empty-handed. He pitied them and offered them work because no one else would. It was pure by the master's will that he gave each of them a denarius. The master did nothing wrong, for he promised to give 1 denarius to the first man for work, and he gave to him as he promised. From the very beginning, when the rebels complained, the master rebuked them, saying, "Am I weak because I gave generously, or is your eyes envious because I am generous?" And when he gave dinners to other laborers, he did not set a wage with them so that he could do as he pleased with them and did good to those who sat idle all day without work. Clearly, from a worldly perspective, the owner's action may not seem very justified. From the beginning, they promised to give 1 denarius, but they gave 12 times the wage to those who worked only 1 hour. And since he gave 4 times, 3 times, 1.3 times to the rest, couldn't he give a little more to himself? Those who have expectation can end up resenting something without even knowing it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 14 to 15. Take what is yours, go your way. What I wish to give to do this is the same as to you. 1 denarius, it is not lawful for me to what I wish with what is my own. You are eyes the envious because I am generous. But what the Lord said to disciples in the parable was to teach them in principles of the kingdom of heaven through the intentions of the master, which were contrary to the reason of the world. God's salvation surpasses human logic or thought, for it is God's love and mercy that save us. Amen. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 19, verse 25 to 26. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That meaning is what God's salvation surfaces human logic or thought. Humans think that is not impossible, but God said it's possible. I give you another one. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. "For though the twins were not yet born and not done anything too bad or good or bad," that is the talk about the Jacob and Esau. But he loved Jacob, he hated Esau. So some people asked why, but is that God answered that in order that God's purpose according to his choice might. Is something is good or because of work, but because of him who calls. Just is only what? God's sovereign. Okay, I give you another, the last one. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. Amen. So is this is the principle of God to invite his kingdom of God. There is no any what reasonable, any logic, any was the plan, but that is only the God's love and the passion and the mercy. Okay, let us pray. We pray together. We thank you for loving us today and allowing us to share your precious words. Thank you for making us realize again how great God's love and mercy allowed us to be saved, become God's son, and inherit heaven. If you had not called me, we have no merit or qualification or for those who would suffer forever in darkness. But we have received your great grace and love. Now that we have become adult, the maturity, please help us to have no regret about your grace and calling, and to be faithful until death and bring your joy. We pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you wish. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to give you some of the advertisement today too. We hope that we will once again, I hope that we will once again, and awaken the great love and the mercy of God the Father through the word and jump into the work of the Father. Amen. Okay. I'd like to finish the conclude the service with the benediction. Now the grace of the Savior Jesus Christ, the tremendous and the great love of God the Father, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are upon the heads and the church of the bowed believers who have reserved in their heart to be saved by God's goodness and grace and to remain faithful to glory of the Father. Let us be together at home and at work from now on and forever. Amen. Amen. The service has ended. Until next time, may the Father's grace be with you. Amen.